Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
It happened quickly, Darren, but there was that brief moment late in Raw where it looked like they might have a big problem on their hands when Roman Reigns is trying to whip Seth Rollins into the ring post, slips on the lid of the announce table that was under him, lost his footing, crashed to the ground, then popped right back up and he was fine. But I got to say, for just a split second, my heart skipped a beat there, and I'm sure a lot of people did. And he got up and looked back and just snarled at the lid and then threw Seth into the ring post anyway. We almost had a major change in the biggest WrestleMania ever. Can't even imagine what the beat plan would be at that point. I mean, I guess you just put Rock in place of Roman, and I don't know, but we don't need to talk about it, thankfully. That didn't happen. But we did have a Bloodline Rules preview match, Seth Rollins versus Solo Sikoa. Seth, I mean, at least they addressed it with Cole going, what's he thinking, and Seth explaining himself. But Seth, coming back from an injury, putting himself out there, willing to face any member of the Bloodline, and they get to pick the rules. They, of course, pick Bloodline Rules. Yeah, we had a good back-and-forth Seth solo match, and then a big brawl with Cody, who was not cleared medically to be there, supposed to be watching from home, but we never saw him watching from home, so who knew, right? And he was hanging out just in case. Seth kind of foreshadowed that by saying he had a B plan. But it didn't work out too well. Seth and Cody get whipped with the nightmare belt that Rock had brought with him. So it ends with the heels getting heat on the baby faces, which in pro wrestling tradition tends to portend babyface revenge at the house show, or in this case, the PLE this weekend. Darren, just your overall thoughts on what really is the final, probably the final major angle for WrestleMania. Friday is just going to be, getting people geared up and kind of restating things. They didn't even push SmackDown all that hard on Raw, which is a little bit surprising, but I guess they assume people tune in anyway. So last big angle, I assume, heading into Mania. What'd you think?
Yeah, this is 2 weeks in a row with strong go-home angles. I've always thought for years that if you're a babyface, you just shouldn't come to the Raw or SmackDown weeks before.
Oh, that's great. That, advice. There, we have to write like a article or maybe a book or at least a pamphlet, to use an old term, that they hand out to rookie baby faces. Things yes. not to do in your career if you want to be successful.
Right. Should be right in the handbook.
Don't turn your back on your opponent when something intriguing happens on the stage. Don't do that.
So Cody, yeah, he should have.
Oh, one more. Mm-hmm. I won't interrupt you again, even if I think of a good one. This will be it. But if the referee doesn't allow you to tag in, even though you tagged, but the ref didn't see it, don't jump into the ring and yell at him, because bad things will happen to your opponent while the referee's preoccupied getting you back to your corner. All right, I'll stop.
Words to live by, but yes. If Cody had read that handbook, yeah, those were two strong angles headed into WrestleMania. And I think this might telegraph that Cody is going to get that belt, because you presume that they're going to lose the tag team match as well for storyline purposes on Saturday. So that's three strong defeats kind of coming up, at least on the losing end of battles. So yeah. You would think he would have that redemption on Sunday. If not, I mean, they're kind of looking at a problem. I noticed that The Rock did get some strong babyface reactions when he came out, and that's kind of to be expected. They haven't turned on Cody just yet, and I don't think that's coming, and I'm a little bit surprised. But I figured that the fans would get behind The Rock, and it was going to happen, and that is kind of what happened. But still, when Cody comes out, they seem to side with Cody.
Yeah, they chant, yeah. Let's go Rocky, and then by the end, when he says something mean about Cody, then they go, Rocky sucks. Now, this also could be, and Todd Martin posited this years ago, that it's not anyone turning in the middle of a show. It's just a different group of vocal fans. So you have the pro-Rock fans chanting Rocky, but then the Cody fans going, Rocky sucks. And, of course, there's an overlap, because some people just like to chant anything, and some people like Rocky except when he's being mean to Cody. So it's probably a combination of all that.
Yeah, and that does seem to be an exception. They seem to like Rock except for that. And I will give him credit because he did bring the fans back to his side after the kind of, I don't want to say debacle, but the beginning when he was getting booed over that weekend and death threats were being issued and all that kind of thing. But he got back on track, and I think that this has played out very well. Wasn't sure when it all began with the fiasco at the beginning how it would play out, but now that we're at this moment, I think that we were taking on a pretty good journey. I know that they probably improvised, and they might have referenced that in the ESPN article today with Triple H and some of the others that. But I think that they did course correct, and where we're at now, we're in a good place heading into the show.
I think so too. Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a good place. The journey I think has happened largely as planned. I mean, I don't even think there was really a big. I don't mean someone didn't come up with an idea, you know, and like to add a little something. But I don't think there was anything that would have required a detour or a big change since really the kickoff show pseudo press conference that they did in Vegas. I think everything since then's gone according to plan. If we sit here and grade like everybody's performances and you know, how did this help or hurt their characters, I would have had a lower grade for Roman going into tonight, but a better grade coming out of tonight. And one of them is just the optics, and it, you know, it's, you can argue it, it works both ways, but like the Bloodline had been coming out first, and Rock was sort of like the main event. And here it felt like Rock was the opening act and Roman and the Bloodline were kind of the main event. Like they've switched it up enough where it didn't feel, and then you have just Rock and Roman kind of coexisting. They weren't teasing dissension, even if body language in the past has suggested it. And then he was the secret weapon tonight. You know, he pretended he was leaving, but he didn't. You know, two can play that game, as Cody did also, pretending it wasn't there, but he was. And I thought Roman had a strong night. And I don't think Roman was, like, greatly damaged, but it just, in the presence of The Rock, Roman didn't feel as big of a deal. And that had to do with a whole wide array of factors, you know, a number of factors, maybe not a wide array. But tonight I thought he felt more alpha tribal chief, even in the presence of Rock. How do you feel about how this whole season and then tonight affected the perception of Roman, who, by the way, if he loses to Cody, is going away for a while, according to his documentary?
Right. Yeah, I thought Roman redeemed himself this evening. Another, besides the points that you brought up, is that they said that he put Rock up to the attack, so Rock was kind of following orders. So I guess they positioning Roman as the guy.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Shots.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes. So that was another thing in his favor. And by the end of the night, they were more on an even playing field, where before weeks before, Rock was definitely overshadowing him. And I'm kind of biased because I did watch the Roman Reigns documentary last night, and they kept hitting you over the head that this is the guy, he's the best ever. So I still have that in my head from them saying that like a million times, beating us over the head with it, that he's such a dominant performer and whatnot, the points that they wanted to get across. So if people watched that, I think they're more on an even footing now.
Yes. And I think Seth has fared well. And I'm kind of saying this slowly and deliberately, because I know some people really don't think so, that he's paled in comparison to Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, and that's sort of the third wheel when it comes to wit and statements and all that. But I have been, and if people pay attention to my, you know, analysis and reviews, less likely to say that. I haven't really said it, because I think Seth has fared pretty well. As the guy saying, I'm the fighting champion. And, you know, he looked a little foolish at the beginning of the night issuing this challenge. But by the end, I thought he was vindicated of stupidity for the most part. You could just say, you know, wrestling period, 5-6 days before he's got, you know, two big matches, including putting his world title at stake, is in and of itself hard to, you know, justify. But his whole character is that he's a fighting champion. And he said it when Kathy Kelly pressed him on it on his way to the ring. He goes, I put the pedal to the metal. I run the tank to empty. This is how I am. This is how I'm wired. I think he had a good retort. as did Roman, by the way, if we get into sort of the meta passive-aggressive backstage. Are they really are they all getting along or trying to send plausibly inaudible messages to each other? Because Rock said, I made wrestling cool again. Look at this crowd. Then Roman slipped in. Cody, back when the Bloodline was making wrestling cool again, back in 2000, you were off doing some nonsense, you know, reference to AEW. And then Seth comes through the crowd and talks about, you know, makes a reference to that too, and how it's you know, stuff that Seth has been doing and the crew that led to the kind of surge in popularity that they've had. So it felt like we had a bit of a live retort to Rock trying to take credit for making wrestling cool again. So I like what Seth has done to put himself out there representing kind of himself and his character and all that, but also he's sort of the face and the voice of the WWE crew as the full-time baby face in a way that's a little bit different than Cody, because Cody's very Cody-centric, but in a way that fans love and is really working for him. But Seth speaks kind of about the larger vision as he has done online. So I'll throw to you for kind of your take on how you think Seth has fared and my framing of it.
Yeah, one of the more surprising aspects to me of this whole thing was that Seth didn't get absolutely buried, where they could have gone that route if Rock and Roman had chosen to do that. They would get in some subtle lines. They would call him a clown emoji or something like that, and that's fine. But they never really outright buried him, and they allowed Seth to get in some good lines on the Rock and Roman too. And especially, I think it was last week or week before, one of those. And little touches like him coming through the crowd and saying, you're not just going to fight me. You're going to fight me and the crowd here in Brooklyn, that kind of thing. And that positioned him as a man of the people. And, of course, people ate that up when he mentioned that. So that made him look really good. But, yeah, he's fared very well. And that is to my surprise, because I thought he was just going to get just absolutely buried, but he's fared well and came back in the ring, is looking good in the ring and everything. His feud with Drew kind of took a back seat a little bit tonight, although the eulogy was good, Drew on his part, and then him smirking backstage when Seth was on his way to the ring was good as well. So they did keep it in mind, but I mean, you can't promote everything. Obviously, they only have 3 hours. but they did as good a job as possible.
I was actually surprised.
Match. Yeah.
The thing that surprised me is just how little they did with CM Punk after how big CM Punk was last week in terms of being color commentator. But I just think they felt like they did what they needed to do last week, and it was a standout segment. I think the funeral home scene with Drew and then crossing paths tonight with Seth being a centerpiece, but Drew kind of sitting back going, yeah, go ahead, go take a beating. I'll just take you out back up for WrestleMania and end you once and for all. You know, Drew as a heel seems completely content to beat a battered Seth if Seth is insisting upon putting himself through this leading into their match. And, you know, I think he's, you know, smug about it. And, he's got a green light to say whatever the heck he wants about CM Punk and Seth Rollins. My God. I mean, you know, when we talk about, you know, you'd say, oh, you know, that match kind of took a back seat. I think one of the most memorable segments of the show was the lines that Drew got in on Seth and Punk, and, you know, talking about Punk being brittle and talking about his you know, his MMA days. I'm trying to think what the line was that he used on Seth, but yeah, he just unleashed on those two, and it's he called Seth Cringelord Rollins, because he saw Jared Leto with as a Joker and built his entire persona around him, he called Punk a out of shape has been who has a brittle, fragile body that failed him worse lately than it did in UFC, and now he's left with a thin skinned guy Seth. So yeah, I mean, it's just, I thought Drew had another good week. I mean, when we talk about who's come out of this better than expected, Drew is the biggest surprise of all. His ability to not his success in navigating a scene that looked like he would just be seen as his consolation, backup plan to much bigger things happening. He has just brought it every week. And I think it, more than Rock and Reigns and Seth and Punk, Drew has come through WrestleMania not only stronger than expected, but just as strong as anybody when you think about post-WrestleMania season. If he beats Seth and wins the title, I just think people are going to want to tune in to see Drew's reign. Your thoughts on that, Derek?
Yeah, I've been a big advocate for Drew on this run. He continued it tonight. Some of the stuff he got in on CM Punk makes me wonder if it's some passive-aggressive stuff by people in the back that are just trying to kind of giggling backstage, like, we can say anything we want to about him. He can't really say anything about it. People who weren't necessarily his biggest fans, because, I mean, they were really going in with some of the stuff, and I'm sure it's not like they're just clearing every sentence with him.
Yeah, they're not.
They don't have to.
And, yeah, I mean, I wrote the story last week after Raw on PWTorch.com, and, you know, the headline was, they've been given free reign. I checked on it. They've been given free reign to improvise, and that they have been. Some of the stuff is cleared and pre-done, but other stuff is improvised, and they want that sense of going with the flow and reacting to the crowd and giving them that latitude to not have every phrase scripted, and not everybody would be trusted with that. But Seth, Punk, and Drew, they do trust, and they – Paul Levesque, I mean, basically is the guy, you know, make sure with his policy, and he trusts all three to do it and not go too far. But you're right. I mean, they're – first of all, CM Punk's getting all good reviews. I've been talking about this over and over again, you know, since Punk arrived. I've been asking around both in NXT and WWE when he's backstage, and I've reported multiple times in different places that Punk is getting great reviews, including from people who I communicated with about Punk before he signed with WWE who didn't want him and were upset when he was brought in. And they're saying, no, he's doing well. They still want to see, you know, there's still a feeling of, let's just wait. This might be the honeymoon period, and it's lasting a little longer than we thought because of the injury. Mm-hmm. And he's certainly a motivated person to show up, you know, the Bucks and Tony Khan and everybody. And he spoke out a little bit, today on that. So, you know, we'll see. I actually think the shots being taken by Drew are in the spirit of trying to create a sense of what you just said, but I don't know that it's there. Now, I think deep down, people know the big track record with Punk and think, yeah, this is kind of fun to say about him because I want to test the limits of how thick his skin is. But at the same time, I mean, they're both – I mean, Punk can handle it in the sense that he can fire back and feel satisfied that as long as he has free reign to fire back, which he hasn't always had, that he'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm really excited for Drew once he gets past the whole Seth feud to see what's next for him, because there's so many ways to go. And he can't – I mean, after he lost at the Clash at the Castle or whatever, he was on the downward trajectory. But now he's a centerpiece guy, definitely. There's so many ways you can go with this, and I'm really looking forward to – obviously, the CM Punk feud is probably down the horizon, but I'm excited to see what happens beyond that next year. He's a centerpiece guy. I mean, and I'm just really excited to see what could come next.
I am too. I mean, if Roman takes time off, if he loses to Cody and Mania and Rock is away for a while, Cody's going to be on SmackDown and Drew's going to be the main guy on Raw. And I don't mind that if I'm Paul Levesque. You know, if Cody's the centerpiece of SmackDown, is holding the belt that Roman carried, ending the longest reign, and then you got Drew feuding with Punk on Raw. I mean, I think they're in a good spot, you know, and I think even below them on the roster, there's some good things happening, and we'll get into Sammy and Gunther and what seems to – we have an email on this, perhaps rejuvenated push on Ricochet and more. But anyway, Darren, let's pause and formally introduce ourselves in the show here. Give us a phone number and email, and then we'll get to our callers. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show following Monday Night Raw on April 1st, 2024. This is our last Raw Post Show ever, by the way. Just kidding, April Fool's. I said slipped that in. That's all I'll do, I promise. We're here talking Raw, and we'll be by Wednesday night after Dynamite, and then Friday night after SmackDown, but we'll be kind of keeping an eye on the Hall of Fame ceremony so we can kind of live watch Hall of Fame together. And then we'll have WrestleMania coverage all weekend. Greg Parks hosting Wrestling Night in America, live post shows. And we'll have links to the live call-in post shows, just like this one. It's on a different channel, the PW Torch Daily Cast channel. But we'll have a link to the live stream in my WrestleMania reports and Brandon LeClaire's WrestleMania reports on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have double coverage for you for WrestleMania, my written reports, full match details, match analysis, full coverage. Brandon doing the same thing both nights. We'll also have NXT coverage Saturday afternoon. And then afterwards, Greg will be hosting live post show. We'll have a link in my WrestleMania reports and Brandon's reports telling you where to go to listen live and the phone number and email if you want to participate. The phone number is different than this one. And then we'll have our VIP exclusive roundtables also that I'll be part of Saturday and Sunday. So if you're not a VIP member and you want to hear my post, my VIP exclusive roundtables that we've been doing for 20 years now after pay-per-views, you need to be a VIP member. I'll be heading up those roundtable discussions with different mixes of people both Saturday and Sunday night. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. It is a great time to become a VIP member with so much coming up this month, including AEW's pay-per-view later in the month and the Raw after Mania, and I think a pretty fun post-WrestleMania lay of the land as we look ahead. But we got too much to talk about regarding WrestleMania to spend too much time looking ahead. And we want you to be part of that discussion. The number to call is 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 if you want to be part of the conversation. That'll flag you on our switchboard. You can also just call and listen and decide as the show progresses to push 1 if you want to join the convo. You can also email us at wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. Don't let it autofill to @pwtorch.com. If you've emailed us before, we have switched to Gmail, so it's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. The other voice you heard so far on the show is Darren Lilly. He is a PW Torch contributor. He covers Impact Wrestling, both with written TV reports and a VIP-exclusive podcast with John Laszlo. Every week, they review the key happenings in TNA. Darren, are you used to saying TNA yet, or does it still just kind of, eh?
I've kind of gotten used to saying it, kind of like the changing of the year, 2024. So gotten used to it.
Yep. I have too. It is what it is. Well, it's great to have you here, Darren, for the final Raw here before Mania.
Well, thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking about a pretty loaded go-home show.
Yeah, me too. All right. So, if you've downloaded our show and want to know how to listen live, and you're like, wait, why do I want to listen live after SmackDown on Friday and Raw the next week, you can find a link to that in my Raw reports at pwtorch.com. I do a write-up on Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, sometimes Collision on Saturdays. We'll maybe get back into that after WrestleMania. We'll see how those lineups look for Collision and what the interest level is. And that also includes a phone number and email address. You can also just go to wadekellerpostshow.com, and you should be able to navigate to the live stream if you type that in. All right, so let's get to phone calls, and we'll start with Ian in Tennessee, longtime caller, first up today. Ian, good to hear your voice as always. What is on your mind about tonight's Raw?
Hey, guys, you know, I was really excited about this Raw, and it did not disappoint. First thing I want to talk about was I don't necessarily love that they're still keeping this whole tension in Judgment Day about, you know, Dom with Legado del Fantasma, and I was pretty interested in what you guys thought about Priest saying he had to go take a call. I didn't know if they were teasing him, you know, talking to someone else, leaving Judgment Day, or planning his cash in at Mania. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like they have had plans and then delayed them, augmented them in terms of where they're going with, you know, Rhea and Dom's relationship, and then Damian not being unhappy with J.D. McDonough, for instance, and seeming like he was turning babyface, and then he would kind of get heelish again. This feels like, if we look at the last year, they have definitely called audibles and changed as they've gone. But we've got Dom being this sort of agitator that, you know, he's doing things without checking first. Rhea seems, like, upset with him, not to the point of it boiling over yet, but it's there, and Dom's got these friends outside of Judgment Day that he's aligning with and trying to get people, his cohorts in Judgment Day to embrace. Darren, where do you think this is all going?
Yeah, I was a little bit baffled, but it has to do something with that cash in. But I like where the storyline is headed. I think we're finally going to get that split, and it's going to lead to one of the more intriguing post-WrestleMania angles that's being set up, where there's some fun things on the horizon, as you kind of referenced. And I think this is going to be a big one because there's so many directions you can go with it, with Dominik splitting off and Andrade possibly coming in. It's a lot of ways. And then Rhea, what's she going to do? Whose side is she going to choose? So there's a lot of ways to go with that. And I think they're going to still go slowly, but it's going to be interesting to see it all unfold.
Ian, you sounded like you weren't thrilled with certain aspects of this. Where do you think it's going, and where do you want it to go?
Well, I'm kind of getting to the point of it feels repetitive, you know, that they're on the same page for like 2 months, and then 1 week, you know, there's tension between the group where, you know, one's not communicating or one's mad at the other, and then the next week it's fine. And then they have like those stories that Wade was saying, and they throw audibles in there. Because, like, for instance, the tag match, I really like seeing them work together, but the eight-man tag kind of just fell short. Like they built it up, and then it just fell flat. I didn't know if there was an injury with Gargano when he did that dive, and it looked like he hit his shoulder, and they called an audible and ended it quickly. I mean, did you guys notice that at all?
Darren?
I did not notice that. But it did seem to kind of end abruptly, though, so that could have happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Ian.
Yeah, it looked like when he did the dive, like his right shoulder hit it, and I saw Ciampa went to check on him, and then I just didn't know if they mentioned it, or they're just, you know, they had to end the match for time because it was commercial free and they needed to go to commercial or something, but that's what I noticed. But the second thing is, speaking of Ripley, I'm not really looking forward to the match with her and Becky. I don't think the build has been that great at all. I mean, do you see her retaining and losing to someone else? I really don't see Becky winning at all. I don't think she needs the belt at all.
Yeah, Darren, talk about the build for this. Is it hitting a crescendo, and what do you expect and hope will happen?
I thought it was pretty lame for the most part, but the last couple of weeks, they've done a good job of heating it up. They had the short brawl tonight, and then they had the very contrived angle on the Ariel Helwani show that was, you know, almost kind of eye-rolling. But,
yeah.
I mean, they're trying. But
it's so bad for Ariel, too. Like, I'm a journalist,
right.
But I'm going to participate in an angle. It's a weird spot that he's in.
So it doesn't do much for his credibility, but, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But as far as heating it up, I think they've done about as well as they could go. I think Rhea was getting a little heelish last week, and I think that helped a bit. I can't see any reason to take the belt off of Rhea, however. Becky can maybe work with some of the younger talent that's coming up from NXT or something and think she would do a good job in that. But I think Rhea's on the ascent, so I don't think that they should take the belt away from her. I don't see a good reason to do that.
How are you feeling about Becky and how she's represented herself, including what she did tonight? Not a lot of talking, not a lot of trying to get fans on her side. This was more just, I'm done talking, let's fight, intense pull apart. But, yeah, talk a little bit, because we haven't talked for a few weeks, Darren, about the journey that Becky's been on.
Yeah, that's kind of working for her, trying to go back more to her roots of what got her over in the first place of I'm more of a fighter more than a talker. And that was demonstrated tonight, where I thought it didn't come off well in that brawl where just normal people were able to separate her, though, from Rhea. And I didn't think that came off very well, because if she's really angry and determined, she could have busted right through the little stage manager or whatever. So that probably wasn't the best look for her. But I think
that was a little stage manager. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it was, whoever it was that came out. But yeah, so not the best look, but they're trying to get her back to her being a fighter and that kind of thing. And don't know if it's necessarily working, but yeah, we'll see.
Ian, back to you. I can follow up on it.
Yeah.
Something new up.
Yeah, the brawl didn't really work for me because, you know, like, if Becky, like Darren was saying, if Becky was so mad, why was she just, like, staying in the ring instead of as Ripley was trying to get to Becky, Becky could have just exited the ring and met her on the ramp or something. It just didn't work for me. But the final thing I wanted to mention was Paul Heyman, and I wasn't too surprised that Roman's inducting him. I was kind of hoping for Punk, because Punk is, as he's claimed, like the original Heyman guy. What did you guys think of the way they announced that?
I thought it worked well. The Hall of Fame is enough part of the canon of storyline. I don't like Punk inducting Heyman. And I mean, I don't even know that they're that tight, to be honest. So, I mean, you know, Punk can say what he wants about their history and all that, but I mean, Roman has so much more history now with Heyman at a high level, and the fact that it fits storyline, to me, that just makes total sense. And I think it'll be more connected to who Heyman has become. I think Roman and Heyman share a lot more in common these days. And so, you know, if you're going to meld real life and just, you know, being, you know, like two people who have shared stories about being parents and raising their kids, you know, Heyman's older than Reigns' kids, but, you know, that might come up. And I haven't seen the Reigns documentary yet. I've made it through more than half of the Bray documentary, which has been really interesting. But there's a lot of stuff coming out at once here, including now the new competition reality show, Next Gen. I think Roman is perfect. I can't even really think of anyone who's not a distant second that fits the tone of what WWE is looking for. Darren, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a perfect fit. It fits into the storyline and probably on a personal level as well. And it gives Roman a little more airtime also heading into the big event. So it all fits together perfectly. I think my only, when you bring up Paul Heyman, is how small of a role he's played in this buildup, whereas last year he was a pivotal role in the whole Roman against Cody feud, and he was such a major part of getting that over, and he really hasn't been a part of this one. He did do a one-on-one with Cody, I guess a week before The Rock came out, and yeah, he's been in there here and there, but has really played a minor role. But when you have such major figures as The Rock coming in and Roman and everything, I certainly understand. No need to shoehorn him in there unless you absolutely need it. But I always look forward to his segments and seeing, you know, what he says about stuff. So it's been a little disappointing that he hasn't been a bigger part of it.
Yeah. Ian, anything else you want to close with?
Yeah. Speaking of disappointing, I was going to mention Solo. I mean, he's kind of taking a back seat. You know, he beat Cena last year, and then he's kind of just fizzled out. I think they kind of lost the momentum with him. I'm just curious where you see him going in the next few months if he breaks away or starts getting more matches.
And who are you talking about? I just missed it.
Solo.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Based on what you're saying, I was like, you're talking about Austin Theory and the momentum that he once had. So I just missed a couple words you said. The way I look at Solo, it's more back burner. Like, he's just on the back burner, and they're just kind of waiting to put him in, give him a more serious push. And I just think, like, we'll know a lot more in, like, 2-3 weeks. I mean, because coming out of Mania, whatever happens with the Bloodline, if Roman takes extended time off after Mania, after losing to Cody, and that's a scenario that people have talked about maybe happening, then does Solo become a leader, or does the Bloodline fade away? Like, what do they have planned? My hunch is Solo's going to get more of a push, and that's why, while he hasn't been totally protected, he just hasn't had a lot of matches. They protected him tonight. I mean, he just was hanging with Seth until everything kind of broke down. So I think they're still high on Solo. I think they're just kind of waiting for it to be his time, because it doesn't make any sense to push Solo hard when he's not a main event guy. He's not going to be in the main events, because now you're pushing him harder than you can actually feature him in big matches. So, yeah, I mean, again, they need a utility guy to go out there and be a workhorse and all that, but I think they haven't jobbed him out like a lot, but he is certainly not as protected as he once was. So to me, I mean, there's wrestlers who, once they decide to push them, they know the fan base is going to accept the story that they tell if the wrestler carries themselves as a top person and wrestles good matches. So, and I think Solo's capable of both, especially with Paul Heyman working with him. Darren, what do you think on this?
Yeah, I got to agree with Ian that it's a little disappointing that he hasn't been more prominent. But also, I get it, and it's just not his time storyline. Something has to give with all the personalities involved. But the good news for him is that post-WrestleMania, we're going to have a few absences, I would imagine, some storyline twists, and I think he'll play a key role in that. I don't think we should – I mean, this is the end for Solo by any means, and I think he'll be featured more prominently going forward. They have protected him in the tag team matches. It's usually Jimmy Uso who will take the pinfall. I was a little concerned that he would lose to Seth tonight and then lose on Friday to Jey Uso, but thankfully he was spared being pinned. So little things like that to protect him. And I think he'll be just fine in the long run. But sure, yeah, you'd like for him to have a match, but he'll still be featured prominently, I'm sure, in the tag team match at ringside, and then possibly with Bloodline Rules on Sunday. So,
all right, very good, Ian. Thank you so much. Always good hearing from you.
Yeah, always a pleasure, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good topic. All right, we'll go to Mike in Hershey, PA next. Longtime Torch supporter. And we got Derek, David, and Brad as the next three up, too. Mike, welcome to the show. What's in your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, thanks, Wade. Darren, good to talk to you guys. So here's the thing. I don't think we thought we would be a couple of months ago. But I'm still mad at The Rock, you know, for coming out and, you know, putting his big bald head in the middle of everything here. But this is great, man. I don't know. So, you know, you guys know I'm going to WrestleMania. It'll be my first WrestleMania. Me and my 13-year-old son, we're heading to Philly. It's just a short drive for us. And we're so pumped. And this is, you know, this is pretty I don't know how else to say it. I'm trying to do everything I possibly can to just soak in everything so that we're just fully prepared when we get there. Cause, it's, you know, the countdown is on and, you know, you put something on the date, put something on the calendar, you buy some tickets and it's going to come. And I bought these tickets back in August of 2023 and here we are and we are so close. So, yeah, this is it's exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah. Here's a couple things to say. So first of all, I still stand by, you know, the fact that like if Cody would have just won the Royal Rumble and challenged Roman Reigns for this Universal Undisputed, you know, Universal Championship, that we could have had an amazing lead up to this, and I feel like the majority of people still feel that way, like. So if you don't mind, I don't know, I listened to the final, Nick and Tom's episode that was on this weekend.
Yeah.
And I really, really, for like the first time disagreed, with one of, Nick's takes where he feels
well, good riddance, right?
Yeah, no, definitely not, but it's okay, it's all good. At least not Nick. I mean, Tom, you know, whatever. I'm never going to meet Tom. Come on, he's across the world. No, but so he thinks that people, like, I mean, Nick is in this corner. He feels like people are moving into the fact that people would have preferred just to see the Rock versus Roman Reigns as opposed to Cody. And I could not disagree more. I mean, I could not disagree with that more. So I still feel like we're making lemonade out of, you know, lemons here. But the point is, it's been a lot of fun. You know, The Rock is doing a fantastic job of, you know, just angering me and my son to the point where, like, we're just hoping, you know, we know we're there for two nights. So I think Saturday night could be a little, we're gonna walk out of there. And I think the big payoff is whatever happens Saturday night. I think the big payoff is going to be Sunday, but you know, there's a chance that it won't. So I'm still that's what makes it exciting. So you know, just just wanted to share that with you guys tonight. And
so
is
there anything that can happen with that? Is there anything that can happen with that, Mike, Saturday or Sunday, that's just going to, like, not ruin the night for you, but, like, how much are you banking on certain things happening that you expect and hope happen?
So, I mean, I'll fully 100% admit that, like, when I purchased WrestleMania tickets and took the chance of going to an outdoor stadium in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the first weekend of April, where, I mean, I'm looking at the forecast, and we're within the 7-day forecast here. I've been watching it for like the last week. It's not going to be, it's not supposed to rain, so that's a positive, but it's going to be like 40 degrees on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh. Yeah.
So the high is like the low 50s. Okay. So it's going to be pretty chilly. You know, it's going to be like going to an Eagles game in the fall, like in, I don't know, it can be even warmer. So in November in Penn. So I'm saying is it's going to be chilly. And, you know, we've been, that mental part of being in the stadium, now that I don't think it's going to rain, I'm pretty happy about that. But the cold part, the second part, what could happen, man, I've been nervous this whole time about having Roman Reigns, like there's been all this discussion, which I thought was just like, I thought was crazy talk months ago when people were saying, well, night one, we could have this. And then night two, we could have that. I'm like, why would you have the biggest stars and the biggest match depend on something that could happen on night one and risk that like something could happen and we could end up with something different on night two? The whole time we've been counting on, you know, Roman versus Cody, taking that leap of faith, I guess, when you spend a lot of money on these tickets. So the only thing that I can really think of is, you know, I'm kind of bracing myself, you know, for this this Bloodline victory. My son feels the same way. We think the Bloodline, you know, the Rock and Roman will win Saturday night, setting up this Bloodline rules. And, you know, things are going to go great. And then Cody's going to walk out with the championship on Sunday. If it doesn't happen, I mean, I don't know what the feeling is going to be. I mean, they've been known to grease poles in downtown Philadelphia so that people don't climb them and knock them over. So I got to feel like Cody's going to win. And I mean, I'm not, you know, look, I just, what could happen?
There used to be signs that said if Cena wins, we riot. And I think there's going to be signs on night two, if Cody loses, we riot. But
yeah. And, it is like, it's to that point where you do wonder what it's going to be like with 70,000 people, you know, in Philly, and it's, you know, pretty close to like almost freezing temperatures. How mad people would be if he doesn't win. At the same time, it is what it is. It's just, you know, it's a story. I think we're all mature enough to want to watch. I don't know, man. Honestly, Wade, you got me on that one, dude. I don't know what's going.
Philadelphia Eagle fans, when they come to Minnesota for NFL playoff games, have not handled things well. There's still damage in the streets from many years ago. So, but I actually think the 40-degree weather will help. You know, it's not too cold that people are going to need amputations. You know, like happened a few months ago. What was it, Buffalo? Where was that game? Was it Buffalo? People ended up with amputations.
Oh yeah, it's not
going to
snow,
cold.
Man. It's not going to snow.
No, but it's not like it's not going to be like, you know, 80 and people are just like having heat stroke and all that. I don't know. We'll see. But just dress appropriately, people.
Yeah, we'll dress appropriately, and we got some sweatshirts. We're decked out, man. We've been preparing. I'm totally pumped to go to WrestleMania. So let me get just like one. I'm just gonna make one point and then I'll get off to let the other callers go. But
sure.
here's what I would see about. I would link tonight's show to something that I felt with last week's show, and that is there were two in the opening segments where you had. Well, I don't know. Okay, I can't remember the last week if it was the opening segment, but. You have this build. You have these huge stars in the ring. Last week you had Punk, McIntyre, and Seth. And so this whole exchange was essentially over, you know, after all the crap talking and everything that went along the way and all the great lines, and it was so entertaining. the fans were just deflated when basically the payoff to that was, should CM Punk be a referee or should he be a commentator? And like, and then basically when it came, was kind of like, okay, well, he's going to be a commentator. Everyone was sort of like, then this real big high, and then all of a sudden it was down to like a three. And tonight was the exact same way. So it was like, it's like you got The Rock and Roman, and you got, you got Seth up there in the stands, and he's just like building it up, building up. Rock, I'm taking you on. Roman, I'll take you on. And then they're like, you're going to take on Solo. And everyone's just like, oh, right? So these big moments are great, but like that's the one risk that we have. So, you know, is that you, you have such such big stars.
The deflating. So first I'll say, I mean, I think the Punk, you know, should be referee commentator. That I don't think there was a good reason to tease him being referee. But I do think you can defend what they did with Seth, because Seth's like, I'll take on any of you. And then it's like the two, you know, the final boss and the tribal chief are like, nope, not me, no, not me. And then Solo steps up and goes, I'll do it. And it's like, okay. So you have the heels backing out. That's when the crowd turned on, you know, turned on Rocky a little bit, and they boo. Heels are supposed to be cowards. You know, they don't have to be. But, like, they're not supposed to step up and impress people with by answering a challenge like Seth made. So there's they get heel heat. So you have that at least in the positive column of you know, traditional pro wrestling psychology. And also, this is on the fans, in the building and at home. You're not getting Seth against Rock with no notice. You're not getting Seth with Reigns with no notice. So just, like, you shouldn't spend 30 seconds with your hopes high because you're being foolish if you think they're going to give that match away. They might announce it, but they're not really going to deliver. So at least you got a match they delivered on. So I get the psychology of it. I totally get what you're saying, Mike, especially in light of the Punk thing. But Seth should issue a challenge. Go, I want to take on any of you and any rules. And he'll back off, and the fans should know better. So, Darren, what do you think?
Yeah, they do need to be careful about setting expectations, and then because this is 2 weeks in a row. So, yeah, that's something to just be mindful of for them going forward. I do want to address if by chance Roman does win. Philadelphia has traditionally been like a heel town. So,
but not a Roman town.
As the documentary did show.
It's been a long time ago.
Yes. So, and then you have a mixture of out-of-town people coming in. So I wonder what the reaction would be if he did win. They might kind of accept it, possibly.
By the way, Darren, finish your thought. I'm just making a wise comment.
I was just saying, after I did watch the two-hour documentary, my very first thought was, there's no way he's losing the belt.
Really?
That was my first thought coming out of it. But, I mean, now I've had time to kind of reassess. The right thing to do, I think, is for Cody to win. But and that documentary did raise some eyebrows. I'll just leave it that
and
there.
Why? Expand briefly on that. What about the documentary made you feel that way?
They were just hitting you over the head repeatedly about how everything is built around Roman Reigns, how he's the centerpiece, how he's the greatest of all time, just to the point of like, okay, we get it. And it was almost like they were trying to prove a point that this is why we want to keep him as the centerpiece act, as the champion. And that was just my little takeaway because they hit it so hard. So, but we'll see what happens.
All right, so here's my comment. To all the out-of-towners coming in for WrestleMania, one thing that's a tradition in Philly, and Mike, you'll back me up here, is when you're in that stadium, one thing the Philadelphia fans really enjoy is the dueling chants. And so start the chant as loud as you can during a downtime. Eagles suck. Eagles suck. And the Philly fans are going to join in, and they're going to let's go Eagles. And it's going to be great. Let's go Eagles. Eagles suck. It makes for a great atmosphere. It gets everyone riled up. I know it's going to be cold. This will keep the blood flowing, keep people warm. I just encourage everyone. Mike, can you back me up on this? I didn't hear what you said.
Well, listen, dude, you had Donovan McNabb for one glorious season in Minnesota, and you're lucky to have him because it's the best quarterback you'll see in the last 20 years, Wade. So I will not do that for you. But I will say this. I thought the
we had Randall Cunningham, and he took us to 15-1 and almost a Super Bowl. So
we don't want to listen, Wade. That's ancient history, buddy. Ancient history. Okay.
Right,
so, look, two quick things. You guys can stew on it if you want to. I thought The Rock looked a little. I thought he looked a little old when they put him up on the table tonight. I thought there was a little bit of like. Okay, and the second thing is, as far as the Roman thing goes, I think that, they did make a point, as opposed to saying about the length of the title reign or anything like that, they made a point tonight to say that Roman Reigns was about to either match or eclipse Hulk Hogan as far as the main event at WrestleMania. So it could be the new bar. And if we hit the new bar, that means we don't have to exceed the bar. And that means that Cody could win without having to break some record for third place. So anyway, guys, thank you for the time, and I love the show, and I can't wait. I don't know if I'll talk to you WrestleMania night, but I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear about your experience, and maybe next Monday after Raw, be a good time. If and call on Greg's show too, if you have a chance. You probably won't with all the traffic and all the activity, but whatever. Stay in touch. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, what was I going to say about what was the last thing he said before? No, I can't remember what I was going to say. Roman. The length of Roman's reign and all that. So Cole did bring that up. But, yeah, the thing about he's going to match Hogan on Saturday and surpass him on Sunday, it sort of is. If you're going to lose one breaking point, then start with another. You know, if you always brag about your hair and now you start going bald, you're like, well, now I got to, brag about my eyes or my height or my, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody just sort of find something that they can build their self-esteem around if one thing goes away. So if Roman's going to lose the length of the title reign, yeah, you got to start a new thing to boost you. And so Darren, maybe there'll be something that Reigns will point to that will seem, they'll frame it as more important than how many days you hold the title, like WrestleMania main event.
Exactly, and I mean, that's a good thing to hang your hat on. You're the all-time main eventer for WrestleMania, which is not a bad thing. It's I mean, it's just as good as saying you were the, fourth longest title reign holder. So, yeah, that could be the new benchmark, I suppose.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's go to Pennsylvania. David in Pennsylvania, then Brad and Derek are also on deck. David, welcome. Are you with me on this Eagle sucks chant that out-of-towners should start because it'll endear them to the locals?
I'll just say this, man. Philly is a tough town. It's amazing to think that, Allen Iverson probably is the most beloved athlete there. Maybe Mike Schmidt too, but, man, that's just such a tough town to play in. If you're an athlete, just all the stories you hear about being in Philly, I have an experience with a job interview, save for another time with Philly, but it's quite a different place. But first off, man, before I get to my takes on Raw, I really appreciate what you and you guys do there, the Torch. I feel like you're like the Adam Schefter or the Adrian Wojnarowski of pro wrestling. I mean, I couldn't imagine calling in like a NFL postgame show after Monday Night Football, talking to Schefter, talking to Woj after like a big NBA game. So it's pretty cool, man. I really appreciate what you guys do there.
Great, thanks.
I thought, you bet, man, anytime. I thought tonight was a great sell for WrestleMania. They sold it. I think they portrayed Rhodes and Rollins as the underdogs in the final segment there. I think, to me, they're going to have another plan they're going to have to come up with. I think, and you guys probably saw this on the internet, after The Rock did the huge beatdown last week in Chicago to Cody Rhodes, where they had that WWE semi-truck with John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin looking right at him, their faces. I think, to me, there's no doubt that now they have to have those guys get involved because I think that only makes the event seem even bigger, but it kind of maybe we start seeing the downfall of the Bloodline, and I think that's what fans sort of want to see, because I don't know if you guys listened to Paul Heyman last week with he was on the Rich Eisen show kind of promoting like his Hall of Fame thing and a lot of other things, but Eisen asked about like where the story's at, and they kept talking about it. Heyman like didn't want to give the baseball analogy like he gave several months ago. So you really wonder if it's kind of at a point where maybe there will be some tension or maybe there'll be a split up after WrestleMania if Cody Rhodes wins and these other guys like Cena and Stone Cold come back. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, if that was an Easter egg and blood, it's going to be a Bloodline rules match and they're just setting up a parade of legends coming out to offset the presence of Rock and Jimmy and Solo. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, the atmosphere, you know, I mean, you know, Cena and Austin, I think have great respect for each other and the fans love them from, you know, from two different generations of, and had very different types of characters and different types of reigns on top. They both would probably get a very nice reaction and Austin's been away for a while. So if the glass breaks and he comes out, I mean, it's a big WrestleMania moment. If WWE doesn't do it, they have to be careful where they park, you know, their trailer trucks and whose faces are on there. But at the same time, it's a kind of fun to tip your hat, but not go any or tip your hand a little bit and not go any further. Because, I mean, unless anyone is going to be, you know, show off reporting and just needlessly spoil it. If we're, you know, if there's some word out about it and they just want to, you know, get clicks or seem like a big shot for spoiling something really fun, people aren't going to know for sure. You know what I mean? And most people, even if that happens, aren't going to know for sure. So so if it happens, it'll be fun. You know, I mean, obviously they're going to have something big planned and hopefully they've made sure it's going to be satisfying. Darren, your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I think that would be fun. A nice touch. I mean, can you imagine the pop if those two guys or even one of them just came out? It would be a really fun touch. Obviously, they're setting up something for the Bloodline if they do have the Bloodline rules, of course, for somebody that's going to come out and combat that. And I can't think of a better choice. Cena has hinted that he's free that day, so he's going to show up at some point, I would imagine. And Austin always is always very welcome, especially around WrestleMania time. So looking forward to that. I hope they do it. I certainly hope that they do it.
David, back to you.
Yeah. And speaking of another legend, well, a guy that is sort of controversial now, what do you guys think about going, you know, maybe beyond, maybe it happens at WrestleMania, maybe it happens the night after, but I just feel like Gunther, to me, you know, being the Intercontinental Champion, he's kind of hit his ceiling there. What do you think about, like, Brock Lesnar coming out and getting his, you know, setting up a rivalry? I don't know, what is the next pay-per-view after WrestleMania? Like, maybe setting up a match between those two? Because that was supposed to be a match at WrestleMania I heard about. Because I feel like Gunther, to me, like, it's time for him to go to that next step and be, you know, more of a main event type setting. What do you think they do with him? Because I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so they've got Backlash coming up May 4th. We've got a Clash in the Castle that they're going to be announcing for June. Location yet to be or will be disclosed tomorrow. And Money in the Bank in July. Anyway, I don't think Brock is going to be brought back this year because of him being named in the lawsuit with Vince McMahon. So I mean it's from a pure just on air storyline standpoint, Gunther having a chance to take on Brock would have felt massive. I love what they've done with Sammy and Chad Gable and Gunther. We haven't talked about that yet. So, I mean, it's more than a consolation prize. It's just like this completely separate, almost equivalent from an entertainment standpoint going into Mania. But Gunther getting a chance to beat Brock, if Brock was sort of in a pass the torch mode or, you know, paid to do so because he doesn't care. I mean, that would have been real special too. But Darren, what do you think of the prospect of Brock returning and also just the trade-off?
I think it's too soon because new things, including today, keep coming up about the lawsuit related to the lawsuit, and you don't want something else related to Brock to come out, and then you have to answer for that. And Triple H doesn't want to be sitting there after a press conference having to answer to, well, you just brought back Brock Lesnar, and you know, such and such questions, because didn't handle that very well the last time, and I'm sure he's very conscious of that happening again. So it's just the stuff hasn't been settled yet, so I don't think it's a good time to bring him back, and they certainly don't. They're not desperate for people yet. You can still elevate Gunther without having him face Brock. Sure, it was certainly an intriguing match with, you know, all the other stuff that's going on, but you can match him with somebody else and elevate him to the world title picture and or one of the two world titles, and he'll still be fine. So it's something you could save for down the line, maybe next year once everything gets cleared up, if he's, you know, isn't, you know, named more in this lawsuit or whatever, and that blows over. So, yeah, but I don't think this is the time for it.
David, back to you.
Yeah, no, I think I could see that, you know, where they would hold off. But, yeah, I definitely like to see, you know, down the road, I think if he's clear to that, I'd still like to see him back in WWE, because I think he's one of these guys that is a big, you know, hit, you know, with fans, you know, whether you
David,
love or you hate him.
I think we lost your connection, unless it's me. Darren, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah. David, did you mute, or did we lose our connection to you?
Can you hear me there?
No, now we can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead with your
thoughts
again.
Yeah, I think down the road, I think there's no doubt we'll see him back in there, just because he is one of those guys. And it'd be interesting to see if Heyman references him in his Hall of Fame speech too, which will be definitely something that, you know, that'll be interesting for sure. But the last thing before I go, I'm super excited to see what happens in the championship match with McIntyre and Rollins, and then obviously CM Punk. I think these are three guys that, you know, there's a lot of realism in this rivalry, which I think the fans like, because, you know, McIntyre's going places, you know, with these promos that I don't want to say they've never gone before, but they're doing a lot more, like, it's a lot more liberal, I think, with the, you know, where they're talking. You know, they're not scripted as much, which I think the fans enjoy. And I think, you know, all three of those guys obviously have unique careers in the WWE where they were just not homegrown WWE guys. So I think that kind of adds to it as well. So I think that match, to me, I think that's the beginning of a great rivalry between all three of those. And it'll be a lot of fun, that match.
Darren, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's potential there, and I'm hoping that McIntyre takes that title, but of course a lot of that rides on if he's actually signed or not, and I would presume they're very close. But, and speaking of which, he really made a smart business move on waiting to sign if he hasn't signed, because his stock has just risen, and now he can play one side against the other, and he's become such a centerpiece guy, and it's shown. Hey, when you give me the ball and the opportunity, I mean, the sky is the limit for that guy. He is a centerpiece guy and just absolutely nailed it over the last couple months. So I hope he gets the belt, and I'd like to see where that goes.
The in an interview he did, and we ran highlights of it a few days ago on pwtorch.com, where he was asked about, you know, his contract, and he just, you know, kind of talks around it. He doesn't want to be too forthright or whatever. It feels like, you know, sort of internal business, and I get that. But he did say, it's like, yes, I mean, it's about the money, but he just wants to feel like he's valued and he's a top, top guy. Like, I think he's done enough work and has enough pride in what he does that he just wants to not be the backup plan or you know, a B player who isn't respected as a top, top act. And, you know, he lost to Roman at that Survivor Series head-to-head battle, lost to Clash of the Castle. He, you know, got his push during COVID, and I think that's legit that, you know, he's like, wait a second, that can't be my only chance to really, you know, have a chance to just be the centerpiece. I think he's going to have a chance to be the centerpiece. I think he beats Seth, and I think he, post-WrestleMania, is the centerpiece of Raw and might be as they head to Netflix. And that's a pretty cool spot to be in, and I would think WWE will look at him now, if they haven't signed him, as an easy call when it comes to giving him a contract that's competitive. Not to mention, you know, AEW spent money on Okada and Ospreay and the former Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, and AEW probably was looking to spend millions on someone who will actually change the ratings for the better. So Drew has some leverage there, but maybe he has less because Tony Khan's blowing his budget, but it's also possible Drew, you know, signed 2 weeks ago and just isn't saying. So I don't know, you know, but I think Drew's going to stay in WWE is kind of the short of it. David, back to you.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's really all I got for you guys tonight. I think it'll be an exciting couple nights there in Philly. Obviously, the fans are always a big part of WrestleMania with all the different chants, and because you have a lot more insider fans and hardcore fans there. So I think that's great. And I always look forward to the Raw after WrestleMania because I think that's where you get some shock value and, like, you know, like I remember the Raw, like there's so many great moments from the night after Raw after WrestleMania. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I just think, yeah, having it all there in Philly, I think too is, you know, it's a crazy city and it's going to be an interesting atmosphere, you know, how it all shakes out and really what happens between The Rock and Roman. I think there's going to be someone's going to turn on somebody because ultimately at the end of the day, I think, when you have the tribal chief and the final boss, I mean, that's that writes this story itself because, I mean, you're fighting for supremacy in the pro wrestling world with those two nicknames.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. David, thanks. Good hearing from you.
You got it. Have a good night, guys.
Yep. Thank you. You too. Darren, what do you make of the Rock-Roman chemistry on air? What feels deliberate? What feels... like, oh, should we read into that body language-wise and even passive-aggressiveness? Rock going, I made wrestling cool. Roman going, we started making it cool 4 years ago. You know, eye contact, body language, hug. I am rolling with the idea that these two are not super tight or harbor some sort of tension and resentment over how things are going. And I maybe a book will be written someday and debunk any of that. But Brian Gewirtz validated all my talk about what was going on behind the scenes with Rock and Cena back in the day. But yeah, what do you think about what you're witnessing and seeing?
There's some subtle things there where it makes me wonder if it's storyline or if there's real tension. But for the most part, as far as chemistry goes, they've also kept them separate for the most part. Rock will come out and do his thing. Roman will come out and do his thing. And they,
because Rock doesn't say nice things about Roman.
No.
Like, this guy's made the family proud. He's a great champion. There's never like any like gushing graciousness from the Rock, and whether it's storyline or legit, you know, it doesn't, I mean, it's just sort of a fact. Like, he could have come out and really put Roman over, and instead he just sort of stands off to the side, has his own entrance. And, yeah, it's like,
exactly.
It feels like the bare minimum.
And he will kind of defer to him at times, and I think he did call him the tribal chief the one time, and I think that's really the only time.
And
really,
that's
not
like the final boss. Sorry
right.
for talking over you, Darren. But, like,
right.
I acknowledge you, and then, like, days later, but I'm the final boss, so really, what is tribal chief anyway?
Which one is bigger, exactly? So, yeah, there is something to what you're saying about maybe they don't exactly get along or, I don't want to say respect or whatever, but yeah, there's some jockeying for position perhaps, and there's a little bit of that there, and you can definitely tell.
Yeah. It's interesting because it can play into wherever they go, you know, with it. The final boss versus
right.
tribal chief and, you know, family first, Roman keeps talking about. And, I mean, I think either could go – I think either could play the face and heel role against the other. You know, I mean, the fans, you know, are cheering for Rocky, but, you know, Roman can suddenly become the guy who's been around and Rock is this, you know, big shot Hollywood guy who's talking about making wrestling cool again. And you know, and then Paul Heyman can certainly play a role. Does he side with Rock? Does he help Roman turn babyface? Whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. I mean, it's going to be fun. Rock will... I am told this isn't in spoiler territory. It's as far as I'll go in terms of asking and passing along is Rock's not going to be just dropped from the narrative after Mania. Like, it's not like whatever happens, that's it. Like, he will be in the narrative after Mania. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be on any TV shows for months. Maybe will, maybe won't. But, like, it's not like, oh, yeah, thanks for being here, and now we're moving on, and it's just he's not mentioned again. This is not, you know, sort of a one and done for him. So, and I mean, and I don't think that's like even profound or shocking. Obviously, they're laying the groundwork for other things. But
you kind of get that feeling watching it from week to week.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't the end. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not, they're not just planting seeds for something they think might or hope happens. I mean, it is the plan for Rock to be part of the Bloodline narrative going forward, and not just not mentioned until like next January or something. So we'll see how that all plays out. Yeah. By the way, was Ian asking about Johnny Gargano's shoulder earlier?
Yes.
Yeah. So I did check with someone during the show. They said Johnny was fine backstage. Looks like he'll be fine for Mania. I did replay it. Just to pick up on what happened, and he like dove and kind of landed on his head and shoulders against the ringside announce desk, and then Ciampa checked on him, and the ref kind of looked down, and then the fans were kind of looking over, and then I didn't see him again. I don't know, but apparently, even if something temporarily happened, he was walking around fine afterwards.
Good.
Okay, so let's see, Derek from Utah dropped off, but we got Brad in Florida still on hold. Brad, thanks for your patience. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
Just had a question in your guys' expert opinion. I'm curious as to, Darren had brought up the Roman Reigns documentary, which I thought was really, really great, and then seeing his entrance tonight and seeing that side view when he was on the ring apron and all those ones in the air and everything like that. I mean, do you guys think that the outcome of this match is already determined? Like, do you think they already know now what's going to happen? Or do you think there is a hesitancy to taking the belt off Roman? And I ask partially because of also what Michael Cole said, where he said, if Roman Reigns loses, he may be gone from WWE. Now, look, maybe that's just preparing people for, hey, you're not going to see him anymore. But
right, yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just curious in your guys' opinion if you think this is, it's over. Like, this run is really, really ending. Because I have very mixed emotions on it. I really do. I mean, I really do like Cody, and I do think he deserves it for all the hard work he's put in. But in the same respect, I think this is something really spectacular that in a lot of ways I don't want to end. And I Roman is the highlight, and at least to me and to a lot of people. So I don't know how what you guys think.
So my leaning is that, I mean, Roman has been a centerpiece of SmackDown, but not a weekly fixture on television. But his presence is sort of there even when he's not there because of his title reign and the Bloodline and pay-per-views being built around him. My thinking is Cody's going to win and Roman becomes more like Brock Lesnar's schedule, where he'll come in for a program for a few months and then you won't see him for a while. And then maybe 4 months later, he shows up for another big show. That's my hunch. I don't know that. But I think, Roman's set, financially. He obviously negotiated very hard to get the deal he's got in terms of dates and money. And he really does, you saw the documentary, Darren, so you can add more than I probably even know just from, how they portrayed him and all everything there. But it just seems like he just really wants to be a dad and he doesn't mind being a celebrity. He might have aspirations for other things, but he doesn't need to be on the road every night. I think there is a little bit of a shoot when he's like, yeah, you guys go ahead and be the workhorses and I'll be home with my family and chilling out. That's Roman's personality. I think he's set and would be content to be a semi-frequent special attraction, but not, always part of the show. And that maybe that also isn't very profound to say. Maybe that's almost just obvious. That's the trajectory we're on. Darren, what do you think? And add insight from the documentary.
Yeah, that was a common theme throughout the whole documentary, was the emphasis on family and spending time with family and elevating your family and that kind of thing. Now, if he's still there, he can continue to elevate his family, which seemed like a very big deal to him. And, I mean, he's kind of on the Brock Lesnar schedule as it is right now already.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much more time he would want to take off.
I think the difference would just be, is he part of the narrative or do you go months at a time where he's not? Like, that's where it would shift to Brock, because he's part of the narrative every week now. But Brock is right. Brock hasn't been for years. He just show up. So that to me, it's not even that Roman will wrestle fewer dates or way fewer TV appearances over the next 2 years, as much as they'll be in groups and clusters, but he won't always be part of the narrative. I think that's the shift.
Yeah, that is a big difference. And I do want to go back to what Brad said, because I'm kind of in the same boat of, yeah, I want to see Cody that finally complete the story as they keep rising and get the belt. But also, I don't know if I'm quite ready to see the whole Roman and the title reign come to an end just yet. As long as they have stretched it out, is it time? It's almost like, wow, it's here now. I'm not sure I'm ready to see that go. And I wonder, going back to Brad's original question, I'm sure they haven't figured out what they are going to do, but I wonder as it does get closer and like the reality sets in, if they get cold feet and at the last minute change their decision, whichever way they were going, which obviously we don't know, but I wonder as the time gets closer, if they're going to change their mind. But I bet they have it all figured out. But I think it's all subject to change.
All right. Yeah. Brad, there's our answers. Back to you. Anyone want to follow up on that or bring up anything else?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my only follow-up is, like, do you think Triple H is sitting there and, you know, maybe some guys from Endeavor and saying, wow, like, do we really want to do this? You know, is this really what we want? Because there are a lot of people, like, there's a lot of people, yes, they'll scream and cry and complain if Cody loses, but there's also a lot of people that like Roman and love this reign and this title reign, and if it ends, you know, they might stop, you know. Look, a lot of these people aren't going to stop watching this early, but I'm just wondering if, you know, the number one merchandise seller, the this, the that, one of the best ever, do you really do this? And I just wonder if, you know, there is a, wow, are we really going to do this? Like, can we have Cody lose it in the most outrageous way possible where Seth turns on him, you know, this one turns on him, Rock stomps him into the ground, and it looks like just the most ridiculous loss where he just cannot overcome everything, and it's almost understandable. I don't know, you know, I guess that's what I'm getting at, you know?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I don't – one, it might not be the choice of upper management, TKO and Endeavor. Two, Roman just might be like, there isn't more money that I want to be away from my family. I have more money than I am. We're set. You know, I've got tens of millions of dollars. I know I have big paydays ahead of me if I stay healthy, make an occasional appearances. It's just diminishing returns at this point. He doesn't want to be away. He doesn't want to be on the road. And, I mean, Brock Lesnar walked out of his first WWE contract because he didn't like the travel. I mean, it's just some people want to live a different life. I mean, it varies by person. So for some people, it'd be $2 million, others $5 million. It's like at that point, you have time freedom, and every choice you make has to do with, do I want more material things or do I want more time freedom? Because there's plenty of things you can do for free and relatively cheap if you are a multimillionaire but not a billionaire. And Roman is in that zone easily. So it's like everybody's different. You know, some people just they don't know what to do with themselves when they're not on the road. That's not Roman. Like, he's fine not being on the road. Other people go stir crazy within a few weeks. So everybody's different. Some people love the camaraderie and life on the road, and others don't. And Roman is, I don't think he hates it, but he's fine. Here's the other thing. I think WWE is – I think Paul Levesque, frankly, Paul Heyman, and I think they're excited. Paul has moved from one person to another to another to another. I followed his entire career since the 80s. And he's always looking for the next person. It was Ronda Rousey. It was Brock Lesnar. You know, it was CM Punk. Briefly, it was, you know, Kurt Hennig's son, because Paul had an affinity for Kurt and that family from his time in the AWA. He had the Dangerous Alliance and Rick Rude and Steve Austin and, of course, the whole ECW phase in between. I think Paul's probably just excited to do the next thing, whether it's managing Bron Breakker or managing Jade Cargill, or more likely doing something with Solo Sikoa. And who knows? I just think they're fine. I mean, they've got with Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, maybe Roxanne Perez. Like, I think on the women's side, they're excited about what they have besides the core group, Charlotte coming back, Bayley breaking off as a babyface. I think they're excited about what they have in the women's division. And on the men's side, Roman is sort of, and Rock are sort of getting in the way of some things that they want to be doing with Seth and Drew and Cody. And then you've got Gunther, and look what they've done to rehabilitate sort of, to, I don't know if that's the right word, but Sami Zayn, you know, rev him up against, probably a better way to put it. You know, they still look at people like Austin Theory, you know, young people who they have shown signs of having a high wrestling IQ and being driven, who are in the wings. And so I just don't think they're all that worried. I think they have a juggernaut brand right now that absolutely can survive without Roman, especially because Cody, Seth, Drew, and let's not forget CM Punk, are all top guys who are hungry and kind of want to be there every week. So I don't think they're fretting over it to the degree that you're kind of framing in your question, Brad. Darren, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a good point. And also, he did mention in the documentary that when COVID hit, that he was ready to walk away from it then, which I was kind of surprised that he said. So certainly now with, I mean, the big money that he's surely accumulated by then and the storyline accomplishments that he's had, that if he were to step away more and then maybe come in two or three times a year, I bet he would be fine with that. So from that vantage point, maybe it's mutual that they're both ready to kind of move on and go to the next stage.
Yeah, and I mean, good for him, but good for others. You know, some people want to be on the road and they just love it and that's their life, and others don't. And so, yeah, anyway, I've made my point. Brad, back to you.
Yeah, and I just have one more question. But one person he didn't mention was Carmelo Hayes, who I'm very excited about him. I think he's going to be at the top.
Sure,
with,
yeah.
You know, guys like Braun. But you know, when Seth was laying there beaten down, and I was just thinking about Damian Priest. Like, is this guy, I mean, isn't this a great opportunity to cash in right now? Like, Roman would probably laugh, and Rock would probably laugh.
Oh, Brady, cut
he
out
came
us.
Out with
cut
the
out
case.
Us.
You got me now?
No, yep, you mentioned Damian Priest, and then we missed you. Yep, now you're back. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was thinking about Damian Priest and, you know, what a perfect moment this would be for him to cash in when he's laying there, and Roman and Rock would probably just laugh if he got cashed in on right there. Obviously, it's not going to happen right then and there. But what would you guys put a percentage on that Damian Priest cashes in at WrestleMania? I mean, if he doesn't do it at WrestleMania, there's only two more chances. There's Backlash and then Clash at the Castle, right? That's it. Or unless it's on a random episode of Raw. But what would you give the possibilities of Damian Priest cashing in at WrestleMania?
Brad,
and what might that
look like?
We lost
your connection again. I'll give a couple seconds here. Can you hear us?
Or am I back or no?
Now you're back. Yep. So, yeah, do you want to talk about Damian Priest? Or you can finish with that.
Yeah, well, what would you give the percentages of Damian Priest cashing in at WrestleMania?
Super low. Darren, what do you think?
Super low. Wow.
The way they keep referencing the last couple shows that something is going on that he doesn't want to talk about, I'm going to say 50%.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I think it's way under 50 because I just don't. I just think the other options, the Occam's Razor, it just Cody wins. And, I mean, if Damian tries to cash in on Cody, you're just distracting from the end of WrestleMania celebration of Cody being crowned. And I just don't think that's the time to run a big angle.
Sure, I think he'll cash in on Seth.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. But then I also think it just makes more sense for Drew to win and win the title from Seth than it does to have Seth win and then have Damian cash in, and then you send Drew off to do something. I guess Drew fighting CM Punk can be not for the title, and then Priest could be your. I mean, if I'm creating a scenario that I can sort of like go, okay, I could see that. Priest is a heel champion with Seth trying to regain it, while Drew, maybe because of something Punk does at ringside on commentary, wants to you know, go after Punk. And, you know, little hints dropped along the way. I guess I could see that. Definitely I don't see night two ending with Priest cashing in or even attempting to on Cody. I don't think they want to break from that scene. But earlier in the night, maybe.
I mean, I could see Damian cashing in on the Seth. After Drew wins, cashing in on Drew with that whole, you know, running storyline of Damian keeps ruining it for Drew and then have Drew get it back at Clash at the Castle, which would be a big moment if it is where we think it's going to be. I would imagine it's going to be, you know, in Drew's territory,
yeah.
Overseas. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. I could see it. Who knows? But I'm just, I mean, he doesn't have many chances left. His chances are now, what, Backlash, WrestleMania, Backlash, and then Clash at the Castle. And that's it. And then it's Money in the Bank again, and he lost it. So,
yeah, I could do Raw,
guys. Yeah, they could do it on a Raw. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Hope you have a good evening and appreciate taking the call.
For sure. Yeah, good evening again, Brett. All right, our number 347-215-8558. We have cleared the phone lines, but if you want to call, you still can. We'll keep an eye on the switchboard, although we're not going to go too much longer with the show. We did get an on-site report by email from Shay from Brooklyn, who attended tonight. So a report here on Shay. Just got home from the show tonight. The energy when I arrived at Barclays Center definitely had that big event feeling. I'd say for the first 30 minutes, it was a super hot crowd. Definitely an audience that was there for the main event program because not much of anything else got much a lot of love until the first table was introduced in the main event. I got these tickets last minute after The Rock was announced. More expensive than I'd usually do for an upper deck spot, but I'd say it was worth it just for the beginning and the end of the show. I never know when I'll get to see The Rock perform in character live again. He has such a big star presence out there. Really thankful I got to see him live on this run. Cody and Jay both got huge pops for their run-in. Surprisingly, though, after the show went off the air, there were one more time chance directed at Rock and Roman, and they teased whipping them more, but pulled back for heat. So first of all, Shay, thanks for the report. What do you think of the crowd heat during the show? Because, I mean, when you take away the bookends and maybe the Becky, Rhea, if we're talking to Shay, maybe we could ask her what the heat was for that segment. But it seems like there were some pretty quiet moments for some of the other matches, especially the women's tag. But
yeah, with the two bookends in between, obviously you're going to kind of save your big talent for the big show coming up on Saturday and Sunday. So yeah, and I thought they were into the Ricochet match and Sami Zayn to some degree, but yeah, in between there wasn't too much to get excited about. I would imagine it's going to be the same deal on Friday. The SmackDown before WrestleMania is more like the pre-show almost.
Yeah, Battle Royal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some tag team matches, that kind of thing, and they're giving you Jey Uso against Solo as somewhat of a main event, so that's going to be fine. They didn't even really advertise any kind of big promos or interviews or anything like that, so I would imagine more of the same, although people will just be excited just to kind of be there, and then the Hall of Fame to follow, so you got some big names there. But yeah, that's really surprising to hear that there was kind of a lack of heat until the end of the show, definitely.
Yeah. Cool, okay, well let's go to some emails. I'm trying to first, did they Yeah, so we do know the night one and night two lineups now based on the plugs, and we didn't as of last Friday after SmackDown. So night one, the Bloodline against Cody and Seth, the LWO against Santos and Dirty Dom. They announced that during the show tonight, or Colt mentioned that. And then Belair and Cargill and Naomi against Damage Control. Colt definitely mentioned that. Jay and Jimmy. And then you had the six-pack ladder match for the tag titles. Gunther and Sammy, they made clear, was on night one. And Rhea and Becky is on night one. So then night two, you've got the two men's world title matches, the Io Sky Bayley match, LA Knight AJ Styles, Logan Orton KO, and then the six-man Philadelphia Street fight with Karrion Kross's group and Lashley and the Prophet. So that's where that stands, just to kind of run through that. Anyway, so Ryan in Winnipeg emailed. So we've got some emails with some topics we haven't covered yet. He goes, just wanted to reach out and ask if you think they're trying to rebuild Ricochet's in-ring credibility after being defined as a loser for years by the previous regime. What is the market for Ricochet? Who is he appealing to, and what is the size of his fan base? The 700,000 to 800,000 AEW fans who only want spot fest wrestling? I don't think the TV time invested to rebuild him is justified, even if he is only a mid-carder. Use those mid-card spots for young up-and-coming wrestlers who haven't been defined down as a loser for years. Thanks, and have a great rest of your evening. Well, those are fighting words by for some people, Darren. I mean, I think Will Ospreay getting over and being just this incredible athlete has sparked Paul Levesque to say, let's protect and push Ricochet a little more. But I got asked about it last week on the post show, and I don't think Ricochet's in for a drastically different framing or push or position on the roster. I think there'll be a little uptick. You know, Cole is raving about his moves. I thought I saw it all, and then I saw it tonight. You know, just like they're basically, and I'm not saying it's a nefarious push, but it might look that way, because I think what they're going to do is really push Ricochet's athleticism, and they're going to have exciting athletic matches with him, and he's ultimately going to lose to bigger names in the top tier, and he'll remain a second-tier wrestler. And that will be their way, if they're nefarious, underhanded, and sneaky, to say Spotfest guys aren't as good as our guys, our main guys. So that's kind of my take. I mean, and I think it's a good faith revving up of Ricochet's push, but I don't think people should read into it, because he's still, you know, as Sami Zayn said on the Bray Wyatt documentary, he goes, everything we say on the microphone and everything we do in the ring, that's not the business we're in. That is just the path to the business we're in, which is connecting with the audience. That's what Sami said about, you know, Bray Wyatt in the documentary. We're here to just connect with the audience. That's our job. Our job is not to have good matches. It's not to give good promos. It's to use good matches and good promos to do our ultimate job where we earn money, which is connecting with the audience. And Ricochet doesn't, in a well-rounded way that is typical of people that WWE really gets behind and pushes in a top way. You can disagree with that policy. You can say they could, you know, try harder and they might draw different more fans and all that. But I'm just stating the reality of it. Darren, what do you think?
It doesn't necessarily connect in a traditional way, but he's somebody that could, if you were to position him correctly. I don't think that they would make him. I don't see them making him the champion or anything like that, but they can treat him as an asset, which I don't think they've done since he's come up to the main roster. He was treated much more as a valuable commodity in NXT, and I think that you could get a lot of value out of him. He does a lot of things that a lot of other wrestlers simply just can't do, and you can market that in a way where look at Sammy, there's a guy who they probably won't make world champion, but they make him look like an asset. They devote some time to him. So I think there is a definite upside, and I think we're headed in that direction. Maybe not the top level, but I think you'll see him presented in a better way.
And I think that's hope. That's my hope, and it's on the high. But I think what you're describing is the higher end of what I think is likely. And I'm not saying that won't happen, but I don't think if, let's say Drew McIntyre wins the world title this year, I don't think they're going to push Ricochet to a SummerSlam main event against Drew, or even a PLE main event against Drew.
No.
He's not going to reach that level. But could he have a run at the IC title? Sure. You know, your U.S. title. Could he beat Logan Paul? I mean, probably not even at that level. You know, I think they've already kind of been there, done that in terms. So, yeah, but on the lower end, he's a TV guy who they think, you know, 3 out of 4 weeks or 2 out of 3 weeks can have a good, exciting TV match, and he'll be a gatekeeper, in essence, or he'll run away up.
Yeah.
All right, Freddie P. emails and says, what's up, Wade? I won't be able to call in tonight, so here are my three questions. In Triple H's last appearance a month or so ago, he sought to reassert his authority as the final say-so in WWE. Is it necessary to plug any final story holes and have Triple H address The Rock's self-proclaimed status as the final boss before WrestleMania? Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Triple H has not been a focus of the Bloodline, Seth, Rock stuff, Cody stuff, and I'm glad, but it does make you wonder, what was that all about? You know, I think that's when they were, like, trying to figure things out. Now, could you have, as we talk about Austin and Cena, could Triple H, would Paul Levesque come out and be a guy going, enough is enough, and not help Cody win, but just simply help fend off a ridiculous amount of Bloodline interference? Like, could that be a full circle moment? And maybe that's why they planted the seed backstage at the Vegas press conference. I don't think so, but that's floating out there, and it's a card that they can kind of play storyline wise, but maybe it's not going to happen this week. Maybe it's something for when Rock returns and there's a little bit more back and forth between them, but that would mean Rock as a heel and Reigns as a face, if that's the direction they go. Darren, what do you think?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought in that direction, and I hope they don't go that way, because I think that's just needlessly putting Triple H into it. You already have enough people fighting for airtime where even Paul Heyman can't get on the mic barely. So, yeah, I wouldn't go in that direction where you're having authority figures being the centerpiece. We had such a, you know, we've gone so far away from that. I just would hate to see them focus on that again. And plus, I'm not sure what physically he can do with his condition and everything. I wouldn't want to test that.
Yeah, yeah. What, if any, are the demonstrable effects of Thunderbolt Patterson's legacy on Cody Rhodes' current WWE presentation? So I saw a little bit of Thunderbolt Patterson late in his career, but I'm not as familiar, not having lived through most of his career in real time. So I don't know. If you want to follow up, Freddie, and elaborate a little bit more, Darren, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not really, because I really only caught the tail end of when he was in Georgia at Championship Wrestling as well, so I can't really comment on his legacy too much.
I mean, I think they're, you know, building him up a little bit, for the sake of the optics of everything that they do. But I don't think so. I don't think there's a ton. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think through, am I missing anything obvious that would be, but I don't think so. Number three, any thoughts on the possibility of WrestleMania in Minnesota next year? Yeah, I mean, it'd be let's talk about it when they announce it. It'd be awesome. I might leave town for a week if it happens. I think it's too many people be, you know, like in town, because that's where I'm based, and saying, hey, let's do that. It feels overwhelming to have WrestleMania in my home base.
You actually leave.
I've joked to Jason about that. I'm like, well, we'll go like drive to Wisconsin and watch WrestleMania with our laptops in a hotel room. Not really. Of course not. It would be awesome. I mean, it'd be great. And Minnesota would be a great host city, and we've got great facilities and great infrastructure. We've got Super Bowls and Final Fours and all that kind of stuff. And U.S. Bank Stadium is amazing. And it would be great. This town has wanted it for a very long time. We've gotten a SummerSlam. We've gotten some B-level pay-per-views, but we've never had – I mean, when Jesse Ventura was special referee, that was like the biggest we landed on the radar. But it's a big wrestling city, and, you know, it's not – you know, like an East Coast thing or down where like there's a lot of drive-ins, but it's a major, major airport. I mean, we can handle, you know, a ton of traffic coming in. So, but it'd be mostly flight traffic other than people driving from, you know, Iowa and Wisconsin and Chicago and Illinois and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's due, but
it's not going to snow in April, is it?
Well, March is typically the snowiest month of the year, but it melts like 2 days later. You know, it's like we get a lot of snow, but then it melts. But now, I mean, we're going to have like an unseasonably warm April. Who knows what happens next year with the planet and
yes,
democracy, and world peace. I mean, we might be in World War III by then. I mean, I'm not joking. I mean, who knows? So let's think about this weekend and SummerSlam and stuff like that. All right. Yeah. All right. Live in the moment, people. Let's see. Nate Lindberg, sometimes co-host and part of PWT Talks NXT, he said, if nobody happens to mention this, were you surprised as I was hearing Natalya talking about Brett versus Owen at WrestleMania 10 and that Snickers commercial? As far as I knew, Martha Hart was never okay with WWE monetizing Owen's name, and then he appears in a Snickers ad, WWE Snickers ad. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if anyone would be, you know, would be given, like, a pass to bring it up in a complimentary way, it would be Natalya. But I'm not sure the politics of that, or if they put a ton of thought into it, or if sort of in the post Vince McMahon era, maybe things have softened in that regard. Did that jump out to you, Darren?
I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, I wonder if that's going to cause an issue or anything. But yeah, of all the people to bring it up, sure, I kind of get that. But yeah, I hope that doesn't, you know, flare up something.
Yeah. Okay, so no one else called in. So we'll wrap up with JB from Detroit. He's got email with multiple points here. The Rock got himself Rocky Chance going again tonight with no Cody presence on the show at all. Will this work counterintuitively against the intended emotions and reactions for Cody's two matches at Mania? We covered that earlier. I think people love Rock until they love Cody more. So I think they'll be just fine. I mean, I think there'll be some Rocky chants, but it's not, like, overwhelming. I've never seen a Rocky chant feel like it was anti-Cody. I always feel like the Rocky chants are, you're entertaining us and you're a big star, and I can't believe I'm sitting here in the same arena with you. And then it was time to turn to Cody, and then it turns to booze. It's like fans acknowledging Roman, but then booing him as soon as he starts cutting the promo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Cody has come out of this unscathed and as popular as ever, so I don't anticipate a problem going forward.
Number two, Kinara Hawani continue the mirage of being a credible journalist when he has CM Punk on to do a roast to Tony Khan and provide the platform for a kayfabe angle between Rhea and Becky. I don't necessarily have a problem with it if he admits that he is in the entertainment business, but to my knowledge, I don't think he has ever said this on record. I don't know Ariel's stance well enough on how he perceives himself. He is capable of reporting news while still being sort of co-opted into being a fringe huckster in a way for WWE, like, you know, being a pawn in promoting storylines, I guess. And, you know, he gets his name, you know, out there and all that. I mean, he's been in kind of in a different sphere than a, you know, a pure independent person for a while, you know, we're doing stuff with UFC and stuff. So I don't know. I just think Errol's already in a certain category and this didn't change it, but it did underline it. I don't think having CM Punk on to do roast with Tony Khan is that big of a deal if Ariel would just as much have somebody from AEW on to roast Paul Levesque or Vince McMahon or something like that. But Ariel has shown, you know, he's been in more of a adversarial. He's had more of an adversarial dynamic with AEW and more of a friendly dynamic with WWE. So, I mean, I just think in the pro wrestling realm, it's very clear where he is, which is not, you know, independent journalism. Darren?
Right. And they had paid him to do a voiceover for one of the shows last year. It might have been like SummerSlam or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just kind of rubbed me the wrong way last year when he went after Tony Khan and called him some kind of derogatory name, which led to Michael Cole. I think he went on the Pat McAfee show and he was bragging about. And then I ran up to Ariel and said, wait till you hear how I introduced you. And I was like, you're such children. Just,
yes.
It was just sickening. I can't stand Michael Cole since then. It's just so fawning and, oh, look, wait till, you know, just little babies. And,
Yeah. All right, number three, I love Dom in his heel role, but I do think he really needs to stop doing that 619. It looks horrible, slow, and fake when he does it and legitimately takes me out of matches. The excuse was, one wrestler told me, the excuse is when they did it together, Ray was doing it the normal way and Dom was having to do it the opposite way, like a mirror image, and that made it harder. But yeah, I mean, it's not a move that is Dom's specialty that he would be choosing to do. He probably should stop doing it. Darren?
Yeah, it's something he can easily take out, but I don't know why they insist on having him do that. Yeah, it's not anything that's helping matters. It gets heat, and I get that.
Should Roman Reigns be the one inducting Heyman in the Hall of Fame? I understand it works in storyline, but I prefer that something like a Hall of Fame induction remains separate from current storylines. It's not like they had to induct Heyman this year anyway, even if Mania isn't Philly. With all that being said, I'm sure Heyman may have been suggesting it too, so ultimately I suppose that is what's more important. Yeah, I think Heyman and Roman are close. I think Heyman, because it fits storyline, but it goes beyond that. I mean, not everybody who managers have managed are people that they'd want inducting them in the Hall of Fame, but I just think Heyman and Roman are legit friends. And it doesn't conflict with ongoing storylines. And, I mean, I don't know. I would think if Heyman had a choice of everybody he's ever worked with, Roman might be at the top of the list. I mean, I don't know who else would be. I don't think CM Punk would be even close. I don't think Brock Lesnar is the type. I mean, he might have done it, but I don't think Brock's the type who would be great at it, but it'd be kind of, you know, might be fun in a, you know, a year ago or 5 years from now. But timing wise, this feels right, Darren.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it until they brought up the topic tonight, and then I was like, well, yeah, I guess it should be him. But and then I was just at a loss for who else could it have been. It really couldn't have been anyone else.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's cool that it's in Philly, but it's like not the. I mean, he might be inducted even if it weren't in Philly.
Right.
Like that's not the only reason it's happening this year. It happens to be a year where he can be a headliner. It happens to be a year. Well, I think there's a variety of things that sort of came together as a confluence where it made sense. Number four, I still can't really buy Chad Gable coaching Sami Zayn. Gable is coached primarily as a joke, mid-card comedy themes for most of the main roster run, and Sami's been much higher on the card, even in a Mania main event, as was mentioned. Sami also mentions the fear of letting people down. Even they addressed that in the same vignette that Gable also let his own daughter down in his feud with Gunther. So why should Sami believe that Gable can get him over the hump with Gunther in the storyline? So what Sami might think, he's a better pro wrestler than Gable was. Better chance to beat him, but I mean, that's a good point at the end. I like this story. I still don't know where it's going. Because I don't know that I trust Chad Gable, actually, be sincerely on Sammy's side. And they put it out there, like you put him in a sleeper and was like, you know, should I really be taking a beating just this short a time before Mania? And Gable's like, you need to be prepared. You need to take a beating to know what it'll feel like and how to come back. I mean, this could totally, in you know, if you look back on it after, you know, Gable helps Gunther win, if that happens this weekend, you could totally look back and go, oh, so obvious. But you could also, Gable could end up staying babyface and coach Sami genuinely, and you could look at what happened and go, Gable helps Sami. Sami still came up short, but Gable's heart was in the right place. So it feels intentionally ambiguous. And they're not like just hitting over the head with anything. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, I think they'll probably tease a split, but ultimately it'll be Chad that helps him win, whether through coaching or interference or fighting off the rest of Imperium or something like that. And then you can have the match or maybe even feud between Sami and Chad. And to continue to elevate Chad Gable, he seems to have dropped the comedy and distanced himself from Alpha Academy. And I think that'll be the natural progression. You can keep both of them as baby faces, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, I think that's where it's headed.
And I also think you can have Gable helping Sami win in a way that Sami doesn't appreciate, because Sami wanted to do it on his own. And Gable can be like, well, you weren't going to do it on your own. And Sami gets upset, and Gable actually turns heel by basically insulting Sami by saying, you wouldn't be champion, not for me. I don't know if that's the best way to enter a IC title ring with momentum if you had help winning. But, I mean, Gunther is on another level than Sami, and I think, you know, the IC title can be a workhorse title, and Sami can be a really good champion, but doesn't mean people think Sami can beat Gunther. But I think they can get into Sami showing Gable that he's better than him, at least. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's different directions they can go with it. But if they're trying to get the belt off of Gunther without him losing in a way that sets him back, having basically Gable help Sami beat him and then take credit for the win and turn heel in the process is a way to get there. And it might explain why they're doing this, despite, as JB brings up, some issues with why is Gable the right person to coach if he's been a mid-carder.
Right. So that's a logical way that they could go as well. There's a couple of different ways you could go with it. But, yeah, the main thing that I'm taking away is that they're doing more serious things with Chad Gable, and it's long overdue, and I'm glad to see it. And they're making the most out of him, finally.
Are there deader acts or deader programs than Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri against Candice and Indy? Even with a sold-out crowd, it seems that they get pin-drop silence for their entrances and matches. I think they need to rethink how they're presenting these characters and this angle. Yeah, I mean, McAfee's into it, but that's about it. Candice is over. Yeah. No, I mean, this is very, it's a low card angle, but it's, you know, giving undercard women something to do, but I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, it hasn't gained traction yet, but it's not something they've devoted a great amount of TV time to. I'm fine with it. And it's going to progress a little bit each week. We'll see where it goes, what happens, what Indy decides to do. And I think it has potential to be an okay mid-card program. But, yeah, it's taking a while to get some traction.
And finally, what needs to happen first, Rock versus Cody or Rock versus Roman? If we get Rock versus Roman first, it would seem likely the purpose of Rock versus Cody would go away. It's either Rock or Roman would turn heel, and the distance would cool down the Cody-Rock beef. Also, Rock would likely have to lose to Roman, which would diminish The Rock's credibility if he were to face Cody next. If we get Rock versus Cody first, Cody would likely have to win, diminishing the desire to see Rock versus Cody, as Cody would have already beaten Roman, who just beat Rock. That was fast, and that's a lot, and we've been on the air 2 hours. I don't know if I can fully comprehend my way through that. It feels like we could do an hour on this topic, but it is something I've thought about. I mean, it's come up before. You know, the order of Rock Cody versus Rock Roman, I get it. Just in a general sense, there's a price you pay for the second match, at least at first glance, looks like it'll have less meaning or prestige if it goes second. Darren, what do you think?
Right. Yeah, I think I'd go first with Rock against Cody. I think The Rock is Teflon, and as he proved throughout his career, if he loses, it doesn't really diminish him too much. He was the king of that, and I think that still is fine. He can rehabilitate himself on the mic, so even if he loses, it's fine.
Yeah, and that's my thinking, too. I think you do Rock Cody first, because if Rock hasn't taken a loss or just feuded with Roman yet, one, it's a hotter issue. I mean, they basically have run the angles for it already. And Rock Roman feels like that's further down the road, storyline-wise. And that's something that doesn't need a title to matter. That can be a huge match even without a championship. I mean, I could see Cody defending the title at WrestleMania next year against Gunther and Rock versus Roman in a Final Boss versus Tribal Chief match as your, you know, two headline matches. You know, and I don't know where Punk and Drew and Seth and Becky and Rhea and Charlotte. I mean, there's, you know, plenty of others to consider, you know, for top matches, but I could see those being two of the headline matches and enough. Those would be, you know, big enough deals to headline each night.
Yeah. Yeah. With the storylines it could take to get us there. Yeah, I could definitely see that. And yeah, I like the position of holding off the Gunther versus Rhodes match. And I think that would very credibly carry a night of WrestleMania.
Darren, anything else you want to bring up before we sign off? Anything we haven't brought up that maybe you have thoughts on?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. If people want to find me on social media, you can find me on Instagram and Threads at DKLSTL. I did post some WWE-related content because I was in Springfield last Saturday for the WWE Live, and I was in the front row and was very close to Solo Sikoa when Seth Rollins almost threw him into my seat, in fact. So it was a little bit closer than I would have liked it then. But
yikes.
Yes, I was unscathed and saw the Rhea Ripley moment that was on social media with her doing the Rikishi move as well. So it's quite a fun evening.
Excellent. So check that out, everybody. All right, cool. Well, we'll sign off there. I'll be by with the flagship tomorrow on the Blue Logo Show. Search Wade Keller in your podcast app. Subscribe to the Red and Blue Logo Shows. And then Wednesday night after Dynamite and, of course, the big weekend ahead. Thanks, Darren.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks to our callers and our emailers and, of course, our listeners. And we'll talk to you all next time.